Hey, everybody. Hold on. Vanity Fair just put up an exclusive thing about Ghostbusters Afterlife. All right, everybody. So I got to finish reading this. Sorry, everybody. I know you're all here for game news or whatever. But here it is. As the family arrives at the old farm, they begin to discover their connection to the original Ghostbusters, Reitman said. Trevor and Phoebe are about to find out who their grandfather was and whether they're ready to pick up the proton packs themselves. Their grandfather was... fucking Egon. I was right. I predicted this. I knew it. They got some stills in here, too. Paul Rudd holding the Ghostbuster trap. Ecto-1 cutting through a fucking yard. Hoo-wee! We doing it, boys! We're back!
Yeah?
Woo!
Was implies dead, right?
Huh?
Was implies he's dead now.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's why he'd be...
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be... I mean, since, you know, rest in peace, Harold Ramis.
Thus, does he show up as a ghost?
No, I think that's too on the nose. You know what I mean? I don't think audiences would react well to the Harold Ramis ghost being there. You know what I mean? If they had killed Bill Murray or something, in the universe,
yes.
That's a different.
Also,
I guess
life.
Kill Venkman if they killed Venkman.
Kill him in real life and then cast him as a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. God. It feels good, everybody. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, December 6th, 2019. I left off Monday, the trailer debuts. Monday, we got a Ghostbuster Afterlife trailer. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. What out of here? The fucking Ghostbusters, guys. The fucking Ghostbusters. All right. There, get me the Ghostbuster sweatshirt, because I put on the Mario one today, because I wore the Ghostbusters one yesterday for the holidays. And then over here, the former Imran Khan. Thank you so much.
Howdy.
How are you? How excited now for Monday are you?
Fairly excited, yeah.
Fairly excited, yeah. I mean, what you can muster.
Ghostbusters.
Look at that. Paul Rudd with a ghost trap.
I like Paul Rudd.
Look at this up here. The kids, like, first off, you look at that kid, you're like, clearly that's going to be Egon's granddaughter. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me over here? You look at this right there. Look at that. God, look at that.
Here's the thing. I don't get hyped for movies all that much.
Really?
I don't know why. Like, I'll go see them and I'll enjoy them quite a bit. It's just like, oh, yeah, movie's coming. Cool. Maybe it's just like the low wait time for movies. They're all like...
Sure, yeah, we have to wait years and years and years.
You get that trailer and those screenshots, and then, like, or screenshots, screen... Whatever. Screens. And then 2 months later, it's out.
Yeah. Well, you gotta wait till July on this one, so don't get too ahead of yourself there.
A few months later. It's not like video games where you wait, like, a year and plus.
That's true, it's not like that. Oh my god, what a day. See, I was getting nervous.
Are you wearing a sweater, just bare shirt? Like...
No undershirt?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, remember we talked about it. The Mario sweater's brand
new. Right, yes.
So it definitely had like the fuzzies, and I don't want to go to the airport covered in fuzzies.
But it does not like itch like hell?
No, man. It feels great. Are you kidding me? There's a Jared Petty gift right here. Jared Petty wouldn't give an itchy Christmas sweater.
I figure all sweaters have some inherent itchiness.
Today, we're talking about PlayStation doing another State of Play. It's next week. Can you believe it? Dr. Disrespect might be going on the TV in riots. Got one of them reveals for the Game Awards because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy Ghostbuster and video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So we... can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you, there is an exclusive Vanity Fair article up about Ghostbusters Afterlife. I encourage you all to look at it. This Ecto-1 tearing through the cornfield will be my background once I'm done here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't want to take away from the show right now doing all this stuff, but you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man, it's exciting. Thank you to Patreon producers Blackjack and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Hims, Tipsy Elves, and Manscaped, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Get your prediction hats on, boys. We're going to work. Number one, there is a PlayStation State of Play happening next week. The year is almost over, but we've got one more State of Play to share with you, wrote Sid Schumann over on the PlayStation blog. It airs Tuesday, December 10th at 6 a.m. Pacific time. 6 a.m. Pacific time.
That means it's international, which means they don't want news getting out in one region first.
Tim! You can watch live on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Tim, get on that DishShock mic. So you thought I fucked up by putting you on the calendar. God just intervened.
The gods are cruel,
Greg
Miller.
He knew I would need you. Also, did you see the Vanity Fair article yet about Ghostbusters Afterlife?
No.
Who is that, buddy? Always happening. Trailer? Trailer's Monday. Trailer's Monday. Woo! We got stills, Paul Rudd holding a Ghostbuster trap. We got details about, yeah, this family moving to the house, finding out about their grandfather, because the grandfather definitely was Egon. I was right on my prediction. And then the Ecto-1 going through the cornfield. Wow. It's real good.
I'm happy for you.
Tim, PlayStation State of Play.
Yeah.
Tuesday, December 10th.
Uh-huh.
6 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
We in? We out? What are we doing?
Fuck yeah, man.
Fuck yeah, we're in.
I don't miss things like this, man. You kidding me?
Woo, woo, woo.
Too much hype. Guess what's going to be there? Resident Evil 3, baby. Let's go.
That's what you're saying. Don't get ahead of it. You stay there for your predictions over there. Kevin, we need you here at 6 a.m. on Tuesday. And the good news is it's a really long day full of multiple shows, so it's really going to be great to be riding all day long. We've got around 20 minutes of new game reveals, release date announcements, new gameplay footage, PlayStation Worldwide Studios updates, and more. And it probably bears repeating, don't expect any updates related to our next-gen plans in this episode. What are we getting at this State of Play, Imran Khan?
Resident Evil 3.
Yeah, like, that's for sure.
Tim's right. That's Keeley kind of gave it away by saying it's not a Game Awards announcement.
Yeah.
And we already know it exists because they updated those PSN covers. It's the worst kept secret ever. So there's not that many places unless Capcom just wants to reveal it on their own, and they've never traditionally done that.
Nobody wants to do that. Just fart it out.
State of Play seems like the more obvious place for it. Granted, State of Play, not that great as a show in general, so I don't expect that many more bangers, but yeah. Resident Evil 3 seems like a very good guess for it.
Okay, okay.
Here's my thing.
Yeah.
RE7, RE2, both at PlayStation events.
Sure.
Granted, E3, but whatever. No more E3. The RE3 situation, one of the weirdest things I've ever seen with video games. Of like, this is a high-tier game that all of a sudden just the box art's out. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell? Like, we expected that maybe the Capcom would be working on one of these things, but so within the same year that RE2 Remake came out, we get this just leaking. Mm-hmm. I think it's really bizarre. I think it obviously means that it's going to be announced like sooner than later.
Yeah,
knowing it's not a Game Awards, it seems like it's pretty obvious with all that stuff, right?
Sure.
To your point about the show not being that great, I think I've been saying this since the beginning. It's the Nintendo Direct thing. Nintendo Directs weren't great. Now they are, and I feel like it's going to just take a little bit of like. Understanding,
it's the train building up speed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get the format a little bit tightened up. You know what I mean?
Like, but the format is Nintendo Direct. They could have just copied that.
But it is, but it's not. It's kind of like PlayStation All-Stars Battle
it's
Royale.
It's literally the exact same format.
It's like...
No, this is a disembodied voice. I never see people.
Yeah.
Who is this woman? What is she
They also
me?
Do the disembodied voice sometimes.
But their
sometimes.
Voice is yes. friendlier.
But I know there's people there.
It's like, what's Kirby eating this time? And then like it slides open. Like,
but
yeah.
The writing's more fun in the Nintendo thing.
Yes.
There's the Nintendo charm throughout. The PlayStation things feels very sterile. And it feels very lifeless. And I think that is the main difference between the presentation.
I mean, the main difference is there's just little of substance in the State of Play. Like,
I feel like we saw Final Fantasy VII Remake there.
We did. We see one banger per episode, basically.
Last of Us, yeah.
And that's not even always true. Like, yeah. I feel like the VR one, I guess we had Iron Man VR. Yeah.
Don't sleep on Iron Man, everybody. Iron Man VR is going
to
be great.
I predict that in the coming years, the State of Plays are going to start being bangers.
Depends on what they like. Do they want to keep doing that? Do they want to go back to stage shows? Because State of Play exists because they just stopped doing stage shows. So like now that Layden's out and it's a new PlayStation, quote unquote, do they go back to that? Like
I think both.
You think they do both
going into next gen?
You think they do an E3?
I do.
So Reset Era had a thread today I saw of like by this point last year PlayStation had announced they weren't doing E3 next year. Mm-hmm. What do you think that means for this year?
I broke that story. Huh,
interesting question. You did?
Yes.
I freaked out on the show about it.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Do you think at the end of this State of Play, they're like, we'll see you at E3?
It's too early.
I think they could. I think it's too early for E3, but I don't think it's too early to be like, and we know you're all excited for PlayStation 5.
We'll see you in 2020. Is what
see you
say.
In February 2020.
I don't think they'll say February. Maybe early 2020?
Yeah.
Because like it's way too early for invites to go out.
Sure.
But I think they will say something like, and for what's next on PlayStation, we'll see you in early 2020.
I want to bring somebody to the table. His name? Frank Furter. He wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Greg and Imran. We now have two major gaming events next week. The Game Awards on Thursday and State of Play on Tuesday. Let's put on our tinfoil hats and let's play Announced at State of Play or Game Awards. It's simple. There are a list of games below, and we will predict if it will be shown at Game Awards or State of Play, or neither, because it's not going to happen. Number one, a new WB game, Batman or Harry Potter. Imran Khan?
Game Awards.
Game Awards.
I would say Game Awards as well. Game Awards as well. Barrett?
I would say Game Awards, and I would say Harry Potter. I don't think Batman... Realistically, I don't think Batman is either at either of these events.
Barrett, are you, though, just trying to reverse psychology yourself.
No.
Where if you start saying it won't be at these, you're really hoping it will be, but you don't want
to,
you know.
No, when it, like WB knows what they have with Batman. And when it comes to a Batman game, they're going to want that to be like the thing for that day. So I don't think they would like want it to be drowned in an event where other news are happening. For a Harry Potter game, I see it happening at an event because the last Harry Potter game we had like came out alongside like the last movie or whatever. Like a Harry Potter game that isn't really connected to the rest of the story, I think is a
needs
kind
more
of like it
gamers.
Needs more. It needs more like eyes on it, and yeah. So I think these types of events would be the perfect kind of thing for that.
Gotcha.
So that
makes a lot of sense.
That's my thought.
I like where your head's at. Except for all those Montreal teases. Why were they teasing something? If
I don't know, Greg. It fucking hurts.
Blue Point's new game.
Neither February.
Really.
Yeah.
You think it's a PlayStation 5 game?
If they're willing to no, they we know it's a PlayStation 5 game because it was in the Wired article.
Yeah.
You're right. You're 100% right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. I slept on that part. Yeah. No, it's a good point. Well, fuck. There you go. Yeah. Well, there you have it. I'm Iron Man. Yeah. Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC.
Ooh.
They haven't released the DLC they already announced.
Yeah. I think like
announcement date.
Announcement. Like more on that.
Oh, more on it? Maybe.
I imagine
I can see it.
State of Play. It was there last time, I think.
That would make
was
sense.
Correctly. TGS? Maybe I'm wrong.
It's
I don't remember.
It's been in one American thing. I don't remember what it was. I can see it. State of Play.
Okay.
I could see it at TGS,
State
honestly.
Of Play so far,
really?
There is a lot of those like update-y type things. And there's a lot of like ad spots. It's like you can tell that Activision paid to have Crash Team Racing talked about for the 10th time.
They definitely have, like it does cost money to get those things into the Game Awards. That's how they pay for the venue and all that jazz.
Ghost of Tsushima.
State of Play.
100% State of Play.
I was gonna say, do you think it's a lock? Are we definitely getting Ghost of Tsushima?
I think it's
stuff likely. State of Play.
The fact that they mentioned the updates on
Worldwide Studios,
Worldwide Studios, I think that's it's not gonna be Last of Us again.
There's also so few games left to talk about at this point.
Yeah, release date announcements, new gameplay footage, PlayStation Worldwide Studios updates, and more. So you figure Ghost of Tsushima is probably gonna fall into PlayStation Worldwide Studios update. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're gonna give us a release date.
I think if they're not going to give us a release date. They're going to show a trailer to just show, hey, this game's still alive. Please don't forget about it in the midst of, like, Last of Us being delayed.
That's the thing is, I don't think you put a release date on it until you're past Last of Us.
Yeah.
We already said it, but Resident Evil 3 Remake.
For sure.
State of Play. There you go. That's a game announcement. There you go. Beyond Good and Evil 2.
No.
Neither.
Yeah, I don't think either.
Okay.
What do you think? Barry, you thought for a second. You went, ooh. And then you just agreed with everybody.
If it's...
If it's anywhere, it's going to be
Game
Awards.
Press conference.
Yeah,
thing,
yeah, exactly. That's true, too.
I'm gonna be spicy and say it's going to be at the Game Awards.
Okay. Elder Scrolls 6.
No.
No.
Yeah, no. Hey, don't laugh Frank Furter out of the room. He's
no,
trying to make a podcast with you.
I'm laughing at the idea of Elder Scrolls 6 being anywhere out of the room.
He follows up with Starfield. Starfield, I don't think
less
either.
Likely or more likely, but no.
I think Starfield again. You're Bethesda. You want to get to your conference and have a banger for the conference. Yeah. ND3. Nioh 2.
Possible. It comes out fairly soon.
I was gonna say that. I think that could be the new game footage.
Yeah.
That you're talking about at State of Play.
Maybe that's a public beta or something.
They're already doing not public.
I thought it was private.
Okay. Mm.
I couldn't get in, so I assume it was private.
That's just because of you, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe they blocked me specifically. Yeah.
And then Dragon Age 4 is the final one.
If it shows up anywhere, it would be Game Awards, but I doubt it. I don't think it's a... Like, they teased it last year, and I don't think they've started on it since then.
Yeah, I think it's too soon.
I think it's more likely we see, like, a revamped Anthem at Game Awards than we see...
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, I think for Dragon Age 4 and in the same breath Elder Scrolls and Starfield, like, you need to get away from Anthem and, respectively, Fallout 76.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to get... Okay, I don't think it's time to go out and do those when both those games aren't where they should be.
Yeah.
Even Fallout 76 didn't get the NPC update it was supposed to get.
Oh, yeah. That was delayed, wasn't
then
it?
They delayed it, and then the next day, like, also, here's a fucking subscription pass. And he's like, what the fuck?
Question for you guys. I think the answer is no. But this would be the last chance, really, for Sony to announce a exclusive or first-party title on PS4. Do you think they're going to do that?
No.
No. I think they're...
Well, let's dial it back. Wouldn't count something like Medieval, right?
No.
Which, granted, wasn't a first-party, but I'm sure it's their IP. So, again, to go back to this Insomniac argument we had last year, with Insomniac, that would be first-party to them now.
Have you noticed the Resistance teases they've been doing on Twitter?
No. Insomniac. Like,
who?
Yeah, they've been posting a couple of Resistance things.
Heavy Resistance teasers.
Heavy.
It was like two in a row, and I was like, this is weird. Like,
are they teasers, or are they just kind of 25 years of play... celebration stuff.
It's specifically Resistance, like twice in a row. It was like
feeling cute might delete society later 23 hours ago, and it's a chimera.
Yeah.
And then who remembers shooting through cover with the auger in Resistance 3 Weapon Wednesday?
Like, there are other, like, Insomniac things for them to call on for PlayStation history.
Sure.
Yeah.
Resistance twice in a row is strange. I don't know. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's a remaster.
I mean, I feel like, if anything, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Some type of just...
Yeah, December 3rd, our Resistance 3 t-shirt is the perfect gift for the genetically enhanced World War II soldier in your life. Yeah. But that's just him trying to sell t-shirts.
Yeah.
I think it's likely
kind of funny
we...
Shirts are
we,
perfect for gifts, too. Kindoffunny.com/store.
Bundle up. I would say...
Is that our catchphrase for the winter?
That's what I'm trying to put.
Kindoffunny.com/store. Bundle up.
I would say it's a safe bet we see some sort of a Resistance remaster at State of Play.
Yeah, now that Sony owns
them... You think it's
them,
a safe bet that you'll see a Resistance remaster at State of Play?
Yeah.
Huh.
By remaster, I think just like collection.
Yeah.
Not like...
Still... I wouldn't say that's a safe bet.
Hearing those tweets, I feel like it is.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's a weird time for them to randomly like be tweeting about Resistance, especially with the kind of now that we know there's a build up to State of Play.
Right, and also like Sony owns them now, so they have access to the Resistance IP again. So they like now would be the time to if they wanted to make a remaster.
Now here's an interesting thing: why is this at 6 a.m.? So far, State of Plays have all been about 2 p.m.
So they can air it in Japan and Europe at the same time.
So, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. I feel like there's something there. There's something very Japanese about this, Greg Miller. Reminds me a lot of Nintendo.
Yeah, no, Nintendo did that shit all the time. Yeah. I'm trying to decide if I should bother coming in for 6 a.m. for that thing.
No, you should, man. Come on, party.
I might just do that and take a nap on the couch after that.
Yeah, the couch is real big, and that room will be real quiet. As we then do... Two more shows in the morning.
We'll have to move the schedule around.
We do a Gamescast spoiler cast for Life is Strange, and then we do the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm sure you'll be napping like a baby back there.
Five shows in one fucking day.
Let's fucking go!
But yeah, I agree. There's probably something. Resident Evil. We just talked about it. That's probably the answer.
Yeah.
They probably want to show Resident Evil internationally at one point.
But I don't think that Capcom would have that type of sway for that. Like, I feel like it's a Sony choice.
Oh, they absolutely would. Every Capcom reveal except for Devil May Cry 5 has been on a Sony conference this generation, I think.
No, I get that, but it's like that. Like
they wouldn't have the pull to change the time of release. Because
I feel like the Final Fantasy VII stuff was in
8 hours.
The State of Play, and that was 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I don't think Square Enix cared as much. Like, they can't. Because Final Fantasy VII was already an announced game. This is a.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
This is their own thing of. I don't think. Initially, it's that Capcom has the pull to tell Sony, this is what we're going to do. I think Sony is in a weak enough position with State of Play to be like, okay, where do you guys want it? Because, like, it's not like this show really sets the world on fire.
It will.
Hopefully. I'm looking forward
to
it. I want it to be as good as Nintendo Directs because, like, that works out better for
everybody. I have full faith that it will one day.
EmoJohnny79 writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hello. Grimrin. That's our name now. All of us shoved together. The State of Play announcement mentions worldwide studio updates. Do you think we'll hear anything about new studio acquisitions? Also Batman, hopefully, for Barrett's sake.
No.
I don't think you're going to see anybody acquired here.
No, that's not... It's never been this kind of format. It would be like a YouTube video of... I was going to say Andrew House, but that's not him anymore. Jim Ryan just saying, like...
Here's this person we've brought on.
We'd like to welcome... God, who's left? That's a good Sony acquisition at this point.
I mean, for years you would have said Quantic Dream, but now they're working with Nexon and all that stuff and making things. I think Bluepoint would make sense.
Bluepoint would make sense, but they don't make a lot of original games, so.
Well, that's what they're trying to do now, right? Because according to Bluepoint, their next game is amazing.
But I don't think it's original. I think it's still a remake.
Yeah. From Software.
Ooh, that would be a huge one.
Right. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Yeah. What about this, Tim? Nintendo. we're officially renaming the Nintendo Switch to PlayStation Vita 2. I don't think you're going to see it. No, that doesn't seem like a State of Play thing.
Yeah. No, we're going long. Last question I'm asking, then I'm going to walk away from this. So what are we thinking? Is it February? I feel like we all have just been saying
assuming.
That and willing it into existence, but...
Yeah, we're just going off of what we know from the
past.
Like,
at this point, like, we are getting close. Like, can someone in your wrong let us know when was PlayStation Meeting 2013 announced?
Oh, okay. So when did they announce that they were doing the PlayStation 4 event in February?
Yeah.
Mr. Yasmin.
I remember doing... No, I guess I don't. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I remember this all being timed around an IGN content conference. When do we used to do those? Because I remember being on the phone with, like, I was interviewed by, like, Washington Post or somebody about it.
Yeah.
When they announced it. It's a good question.
Yeah, this is impossible to Google.
Granted, it's different because this we actually know that the PlayStation 5 and the Wired article changed things for this time, but still, there's only so much time for them to announce this.
Yeah, it has to be before E3.
Yeah.
Because I think they will probably show up at E3 in some form, because developers still need to show their games at E3.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess February because it worked out so well for them, but I could easily see them slipping to, like, March. I don't think any time after March makes sense.
If I can jump in real
quick. For a financial year
reasons.
People
are mistaken on what we're asking. We know when the February event 2013 was. We're asking when did it get announced? When did invites go? When did that break that, hey, they're doing a PlayStation event in February 2013? That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a New Year's invite, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing we'll get first week of 2020, if it's February.
Sure.
But just be like, hey, when are they... I'm trying to think when Sony sends out invites to things. It's usually... They give us a lot of lead time.
Sometimes.
Well, but if it, unless it's in San Francisco, then it's like, I'm going to show up tomorrow.
Andy says... And I don't think it's our Andy, because our Andy's not that smart. invites were sent out February 1st for the February 20th event.
Oh.
Nanobiologist says, see the future invites went out around January 31st.
Okay.
So they give you like 20 days.
So we'll probably know by mid-February whether or not they're doing it in the first quarter of the year.
Yeah, I feel like... I'm trying to remember if I had that off the record, too. Like, I feel like I must have. Somebody must have told me at the time.
What was I at the time? Greg,
ask your friends. Get me information.
I'll work on it just for you, Tim.
All right, thanks, guys.
No problem. Love you. Good job.
Call up
you. Thanks for coming in for that. See, it worked out. Otherwise, I would have called you. Still would have been asleep. Nothing would have happened. Number two. Now, this applies to yesterday's Game Awards story, where we talked about there being 10 new announcements / projects.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Riot's publishing games and ones coming or getting announced or whatever at the Game Awards. This is Richard Wakeling at GameSpot. League of Legends developer Riot Games has announced its venture into video game publishing via a new publishing arm called Riot Forge. The goal of Riot Forge is to partner with experienced studios outside of Riot Games to create single-player, story-driven games set in the League of Legends Runeterra universe. Greg Street, Riot's vice president of IP and entertainment, took to Twitter to celebrate the announcement, tweeting, "Riot Forge is something I am proud to have helped create. We are now an indie game publisher. The story-based games you want in the League universe are coming. Riot Forge will provide localization, research, marketing, voiceovers, QA, and other kinds of support to its development partners and is currently searching for new studios to work with. The publishing arm's first game is already in development. However, as the Game Awards has confirmed that the first Riot Forge developer will be revealing its new League of Legends game at the show on December 12th.
Okay, so this is... They're announcing this publicly, but this is an initiative that has existed before.
Is that correct?
Because if they're announcing or showing a new game on December 12th from Riot or from the Riot Forge initiative.
Oh, so it's existed, yes, but not publicly.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, they're on the same page. Yeah. I would definitely think that they've been working on this quietly and then looking for their moment to announce it all.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate, because with all due respect to everybody else, it's always boring when somebody's like, "We're starting a studio today. See you in 2023. You're like, "Oh, man. Oh, yeah, why'd you even tell me about it?"
Cough, Stadia, cough.
That's a platform. Hey, we're creating a platform.
No, the studio for Stadia.
Oh, right, with Jade Raymond and all that.
Yeah, only
started
hiring, I think, a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But
my apologies. Yeah. More power to him. Also cool to be at the Game Awards. Does this do anything for you off the bat?
I'm interested in League of Legends stuff, but not playing League of Legends. So I would probably, like, let's say... God, who made Indivisible? Why am I blanking on the name right now? It's called Girls as well.
I'm Googling.
So that studio, if they made a League of Legends game that's like Indivisible, I'd be like, yeah, I'd play that. I would want to play a game from an indie developer I like or a genre
Lab Zero games.
Lab Zero.
Never would have gotten that in a million years.
If they announce, I don't know, just a random name I'm picking, but like something that I saw promise in, but maybe just didn't have the budget to cross the finish line or whatever, like... I would like to see them backed by Riot and make a new game.
Yeah.
Within like a license that I'd be interested in seeing more of, but not necessarily playing League of Legends.
Here, the most exciting thing about this, and I think I speak for everybody, is that it finally means that even if we never played League of Legends, but just loved this song. Now we get to play a game with these people.
Yeah.
Because this is an awesome music video.
Honestly,
I love it.
That's what I was thinking about.
I love it in Beat Saber. you'd have to fucking punch me in the face and call me Shirley to get me to play fucking League of Legends, all
right? Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, that seems cool. I never want to play this game.
Exactly.
So I'm never, like, it's a problem I have with Dota, too, of like, oh, there are some cool designs. Granted, they're all, like, ripped off from, you know, the original Dota. But, like, those are some cool designs. I'd like to know more about this, but I'm not going to...
Yeah, this
Dota.
Isn't my kind of game. Yeah. But I love what you're doing and appreciate it. And
it's kind of the Overwatch problem, too, of I'm not really getting anything from playing this game. Like, I want to know more about this character because I like this character, not the hundreds of other ones.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like...
I'm just not interested in lanes and all this
just
shit.
Just knowing their four... What do you call them? Skills and alts. Like that's not really helping me understand them better. And it's the problem Overwatch had of... Like, oh, there's backstory and lore, but you may get it during a match, and more likely you won't, so you're just going to read a wiki anyway.
Yeah. Like, I'm pitching right now. Give me a KDA game where it's just me planning their tour. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm selling hot dogs and stuff, and like I'm setting prices and how much
like
they going to cost.
Like that one Madden story
exactly,
mode?
Exactly, yes. Right? Exactly.
Wait, that game exists.
No, not Longshot. Longshot, great one, too.
That game exists. They tour eSports manager.
Oh, no, but but now I want it to be about music people. You know
okay.
What I mean? Like Rock Band, where I'm the manager rather than the Rock Band.
Okay, yeah. There is a League of Legends eSports manager game, though, specifically that.
Okay.
So if you wanted to sell the price of hot dogs.
Is that like I don't even know fucking anybody who plays League of Legends. I went to say Sinatra, and I'm like, oh, that's Overwatch, isn't it?
Frank Sinatra?
No.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra came back from the dead.
Just to play this. Frank, is Frank Sinatra Jr. dead, too?
No, he's still around, I think.
Is he?
I think.
Huh.
He did all those Family Guy episodes at one point, right?
Vaguely, yeah. But even that was years ago, right?
Yeah, you're right.
He is dead. Oh, cardiac arrest.
Rest in peace. Wow. Today?
2016.
Oh, close.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, see?
Cardiac arrest.
Family Guy, not the most current product to base who's alive and dead on.
That's true.
Robbie Rob writes in and says, hello, killer news. And that's Colin and Miller put together, he points out. With Riot announcing it is working with outside studios to create its new single-player game, that got me thinking. What video game companies would you want to work together to make an amazing gaming experience? My personal dream would be to see CD Projekt Red and Bethesda Game Studios to make a sandbox, open-world RPG with a class of story that is beyond Bethesda. Isn't that just Witcher? I mean, like, I feel like you don't need... No offense. I'm not even trying to talk shade. You don't need Bethesda in that equation. Isn't that just what CD Projekt Red does? Sandbox open world RPG with a class of story? That's beyond Bethesda? Witcher? Cyberpunk?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm trying to think of it. It's like a lot of this is so homogenized now that I'm not sure who I would want to pair to get. Like, I'd want to see, like, probably Nintendo Tokyo make a Sonic game, like, because I think they could do it probably pretty well.
Sure. Okay, I like that.
Beyond that. I'm sure there are examples in my head I've thought of.
I mean, I think Sucker Punch was so good with Infamous, they should team up with DC and do some superhero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was surprised they didn't. Like, when Spider-Man was first announced, like, before... I think the Insomniac logo showed first, but I think part of me thought, like, I wonder if Sucker Punch is also working on this.
Yeah. Well, that was... Well, I mean, if you remember, there was the rumor that there was a Spider-Man game.
Oh, yeah, that's
on,
supposed to be one.
And that was the thing. Oh, it's going to be... It's clearly going to be Sucker Punch. It's going to be Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
And I remember getting that off the record. Months before reveal, and I literally collapsed in the street. Not like dead, but I mean, like I was hamming it up, and that was that. And then they told me, this is where, you know, we talk about information being wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. They told me it was going to be a Miles Morales game. Yes. Like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, what's going on there?
It kind of was.
You can see where when you're getting things through four or five different people to get the actual information, where it's like, oh, that's how I got off track.
Might say it's set up to an actual Miles Morales game.
Some might say that,
but I do think. Don't write about that.
I like how you have to say that now. So
I know. It's like that one went a little far. It's like me telling Andy and Freya, like, oh, it's sooner than we think in this room right here.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, maybe it's coming out next month. Like, no.
No.
Yeah. Like, this, the example I think here, I would want CD Projekt Red to work with some people, but I wouldn't want to work with other studios. I think I wanted to work with other licenses.
Yeah, other IPs, right? That's really where I think it gets down to. And where I think, you know, I think Marvel Games is a step ahead on how to treat your IP.
Yeah.
Of like, let's go to really cool, talented developers and make really cool games.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wish DC was doing, you know what I mean? Outside of just being tied down to Warner Brothers stuff.
You know, throw this out there. I want Respawn and Platinum to work on something.
Huh. Mm. Okay.
Because then you probably get... I think they fill each other's holes pretty well. Sexy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. But I think places where Fallen Order kind of fell... down a bit, I
think. Ropes.
Yeah.
Rope grabbing and sliding.
Well, not necessarily polished stuff, but like some design things. Like, I don't think Platinum would have made a game where you can't tell, like, where you'd have to explore through areas. It didn't give you any fast travel option.
Yeah.
At least in post post game.
Yep, totally. Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't announced
something
about
that yet.
Which is
weird because like there's a character that like really could facilitate that, and I feel like that was the point of that character.
Yeah.
And then they just didn't.
I felt like that, when you get that character and I was like, oh cool, that bye, see ya.
Yeah. I was like, finally I could teleport away. He's like, no, I guess not. But
what a game though.
Game of the year, some would say.
Some would say.
It'll be up there.
We'll see. January.
But not at the Game Awards.
No, not at the Game Awards. Number three, Dr. Disrespect and Skybound signed a development deal. This is Patrick Shanley at The Hollywood Reporter. Popular Twitch streamer guy, Dr. Disrespect, Beam the Fourth. I didn't know that. Has secured a deal with Skybound Entertainment, The Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman's multi-platform production company, to develop a narrative scripted television series based on his character. The new deal, brokered by Skybound and Beam's agency, CAA, is the first of its kind for a Twitch personality. Over the past few years, Beam, as his over-the-top, WWE-inspired alter ego, Dr. Disrespect, has become one of the top streamers on the Amazon-owned platform, where he boasts more than 3.8 million followers and has amassed more than 100 million views. Both Beam and Albert, I cut out a whole bunch of stuff. They're talking to DA from Skybound. Note that the show will focus on how the Doctor became the Doctor and the backstory of the Dr. Disrespect character. Quote, you can't fully explore that in the stream itself, but getting inside that narrative is what got us excited about working with Beam, says Albert.
I didn't read this whole story. This is weird.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this is like a show, like a narrative.
It's a scripted show about how the Doctor Dr. Disrespect character became Dr. Disrespect.
Okay.
The show is still in its early creative stages. Groan from Barrett. The show is still in its early creative stages and does not have a network yet. Quote, the one thing I try to focus on is making sure everything stays consistent. Consistent, adds Beam. You don't want to lose the authenticity of the character. Beam says he doesn't see himself as a pioneer for streamers, but he does admit the deal signals a big step for fellow streaming talent. Quote, we're trying to take things to the next level, and hopefully we'll have an effect that reverberates and legitimizes the world of streaming, he says.
If they're going to try and legitimize the world of streaming, I don't think Dr. Disrespect is the one you choose.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Why I think more than I know he's a lightning pole or lightning rod in terms of what do people think of this guy, right? You know what I mean? As soon as I saw the headline, I literally sipped Yoda sipping the coffee and just clicked to see all the bathroom responses. Let's see all the bathroom jokes.
I'm fighting it right now.
But I do think what's interesting about it, whether you love or hate Dr. Disrespect, is the idea that, oh, wow, this is like a real TV deal they're trying to make happen. Now, will it happen? Who knows? That's the other thing. Is like, this is a development deal that they've inked and talked about, and there's no network attached. Is a network going to be so impressed with the millions of views and thinking that there'll be an audience that'll come to regular TV to watch the fictionalized narrative origin story of Dr. Disrespect in a serial format? I don't know.
I'm so morbidly curious. I want, like, before when I thought it was just like it's a Dr. Disrespect TV show or hosting a show or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, okay, that's dumb, but whatever. Now that I know it's a scripted TV show, like, it's the Breaking Bad of streaming. I desperately want to know what this origin story is.
What is the origin story of the like, two-time Dr.
Maybe Disrespect? Enough to watch it.
Yeah? Wow.
Not enough, but more likely enough to just read spoilers on the internet.
Sure. Yeah.
But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't think this is going anywhere. I think this is.
No, I don't. Yeah. I mean, that's not even throwing shade. I mean, it just doesn't sound like a show people. But I don't know. I guess that's the thing is being so detached from Twitch streaming, like personalities and knowing anything about them, as I've proven time and time again on the show. I don't know if the Dr. Disrespect audience is like so ride or die that they're like, you know what? I do want the fictionalized narrative.
I think they are.
Yeah, they are?
Yeah.
They're pretty ride or die.
Yeah. But are they ride or die for him being funny on the stream? You know what I mean?
I think they're ride or die for him no matter what, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even with all the dumb bathroom shit that he did, they're still like, it's part of his character.
He's done
it's
a lot of dumb
like,
shit beyond the bathroom stuff.
Yeah.
The Asian whole accent thing. That's
Asian
the
accent, like, and that he...
And then cheating
to,
on
like,
his wife and then leaning into that for, like, the story of the character and shit like that. Like, man, the internet was a mistake.
Yeah, like, is that show going to, like, obviously it's going to be a very, romanticized version of him. It's not going to show the skeezier shit he's done.
Well, that'd be the thing is I would honestly be way more interested in a reality show. Not even that. A documentary, honestly, of just what it is like being him and what you're talking about. Of here's these things I fucked up before, and here's how I legitimately feel. Not the character, not how I presented on stream as the doc.
Yeah.
That'd be cooler, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe that exists, and I don't know. Maybe he's had these interviews, and I just haven't watched them because I'm not paying attention to what Doc's doing. No offense, Doc.
It's such a weird thing because, like, on one hand, I don't feel like I need to know about a streamer's life at all.
Yeah.
Like, they can do whatever, but at the same time, they... I'm not going to say have it both ways, because that's a little negative, but if you're tearily confessing your infidelity on your wife on a stream, then you've already broken a barrier with your audience of how much of your personal life affects your streaming brand and, like, sure. your character you're playing.
Sure.
So I don't know that, like, I'd want either of those things. I don't want the fictionalized, romanticized version of Dr. Respect, but I don't necessarily need to know the real version either. Honestly, I kind of just want him to go away, but whatever, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, at no point am I saying I want to know about what are the details of you cheating and who did you cheat with? And that's not what I'm saying, right?
But it is part of his, like, streaming life now.
Is it? Oh, you mean his story, his narrative. Yeah, yeah, 100%. And that's what I'm saying is, like, I'd be interested to have a real interview with Guy and not Doctor Disrespect. Yeah. And, like, so what was it like doing that and then trying to figure out and pivot? Like, what do you do with that now that that's out, right? Because your whole thing is this character and you have this real raw, emotional, crazy moment on the air that got shared everywhere. And so I think it might be the first time I really understood who he was and what was going on, right? Mm-hmm. And then to go on and, I guess, pull that in. Because, like, was it Barrett? You mentioned that he pulled it into his character and his narrative after the fact. He did, like, a... There was some kind of, like, the teaser when he was coming back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and like, it was his like wife his wife was, like, an assassin or some shit like
gotcha,
that. Like,
gotcha,
he leaned into that, and, yeah, his audience ate it up. So it's like, yeah, like, again, like, I think the audience he has is definitely ride or die, no matter, like, what platform he's on or, like, what he's doing.
Then it'll be interesting. I bet the show does get made.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the kind of audience, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, if somebody's like, you want a kind of funny TV show, and we did it. 12 people would watch. Everyone is like, more than, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Remember at E3 last year, there was no Sony booth, and they took that place with like a juice bar or something?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
thing.
I remember that.
There's like a big Dr. Disrespect standee, and I'm like, no one's manning this booth. I could seriously just take the standee and put it in the bathroom, and nobody would notice.
Is that how, did you do this?
I didn't think about it. Or I didn't end up doing it.
That was before you were a rebel without a cause.
Look, we all can't get kicked out of E3, Greg. Only some of us.
Banning me from E3. I swear to God, if we apply for E3 badges this year again, and they're like, we're only going to give you two, I'm going to be like, you banned me by accident because you gave away my details, and then you fucking leaked all my information. Give me the fucking badges I want for E3.
Yeah. It's pointed out to me on Twitter that Dr. Disrespect has encouraged like harassment of journalists that he just doesn't like. So like he is just straight up a dick. Yeah.
Number four. Death Stranding is getting an update. It's been detailed. This is Richard Wakeling making his second appearance today from GameSpot. Kojima Productions has released a brief video showcasing some of the changes coming in Death Stranding's upcoming patch. The update is due to arrive in mid-December. One of the most requested changes from the community is the option to delete other players' vehicles. Death Stranding is a shared world game. You'll never see other players, but structures they've built, such as bridges, roads, ladders, and postboxes, will appear in your game and can be interacted with. The same is true with vehicles, giving you the chance to commandeer those abandoned by other players. This becomes a problem, however, when vehicles are abandoned in inopportune places, especially by those eager to troll. Sometimes a derelict truck is a mere nuisance, blocking a road or a doorway and forcing you to climb behind the driver's seat to move it. Other times, like with the cosplayer's shelter, a truck can completely block an entrance with no feasible way to circumnavigate it unless you have explosives handy. The latest patch aims to rectify this issue by giving you the option to remove other players' vehicles by simply holding down the options button. The video also reveals the patch will let you see the Odra deck, you know, the fucking thing on your shoulder, scanner through cargo on Sam's back. When the scanner is locating BTs, the cargo will become transparent once these changes are implemented, preventing Sam's payload from blocking your line of sight to a crucial survival tool. Aside from this, Kojima Productions tweeted last month that the upcoming update would also give players the option to increase the game's small text size.
I feel like, because this training, it's not subtle about being an analogy for the larger internet.
Yeah.
Like the game, the Kirill Network, or just Wi-Fi, all that jazz. You can't be surprised when you make a game that is, act like you would act like on the internet, and people act like they would act on the internet.
Yeah.
Like
they're trolling and hurting and getting each other's way.
Like that probably should have been a consideration in development.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like the majority, and I guess I have never heard of these trolling issues here.
Mm-hmm.
When we were playing, and granted we were just reviewers at the time, I guess.
Right.
It seemed like they were more helpful, more often helpful than not. Like in terms of actually putting a ladder here and putting a sign there and going, I wonder what the actual balance between helpful and fucking with you things are on the map.
I mean, it's all random, right? Like, it gets you can make strand contracts and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, tend to get the same kind of people. but you tend, I would assume that it would just randomly pull in like.
Well, oh, I don't well, even I just, mean like yeah. for you. What's the percentage in your game? I mean in the world. Like, are what oh. Is there like a dedicated? I'm gonna fuck with people. I'm gonna go up here and put like signs saying come up here, and then it's just BTs everybody.
I would bet most people played that game earnestly.
Yeah, I would think so too.
I think the people who are still playing that game are probably like now at the point of, well, I'm gonna make my own fun, which is kind of trolling some other people.
Yeah.
Or at least some percentage of people are like that.
Sure.
But
that's the internet.
Yeah. I'm still kind of surprised they just didn't see that coming.
Yeah, well, you know, Kojima just wanted to unite us all, right. Connect us in these united cities of America.
Even the Miiverse had dick detection technology because they knew it would happen.
Miiverse was ahead of the time on dick protection, you know.
Dick protection.
Yeah, yeah. Number five, turns out Starbreeze isn't dead. They might actually make it through this. Hayden Taylor, GamesIndustry.biz says, beleaguered Swedish game company Starbreeze can rest easy for the first time in a year, having completed its reconstruction process. In a statement, the acting CEO, Michael Nermack, described it as a toilsome journey for the entire company, adding that he was very pleased to have gained the creditors. Starbreeze was threatened with insolvency in December 2018 and has spent much of the last 12 months negotiating a long-term financial solution. The company has taken multiple extensions on the reconstruction period, been forced to sell off numerous publishing licenses and subsidiaries, cancel console ports, lay off staff, and even restart paid content production on Payday 2. Quote, we are very pleased to have gained the creditors' confidence and have succeeded in reclassifying the majority of our debts to long-term to be paid over, repaid, I'm sorry, over 5 years, said Nermack. We have also succeeded in positioning the company in a situation where we can look forward to the future and focus on our core business to develop games within the Payday franchise. Together with all our employees, I look forward to reaching a publishing agreement for Payday during the first half of 2020 via the ongoing dialogues we're currently in and to develop the game into a worthy sequel to the series together with a respected partner. Our most important brand has great potential to provide the company with a stable foundation for decades to come.
They're digging themselves out of the hole, which is
crazy.
Yeah.
Surprising. When all the Walking Dead stuff happened, it was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah, you they took a huge bath.
You like, ain't going to make it.
Those console ports are more or less finished.
Yeah.
And they're just like, well, we're going to write this off because it would cost more money to release this shit than. Yeah.
And
yeah,
then Skybound took back the license, right? Like, yeah. That was their whole thing. It's like, yeesh, this doesn't look good. Then the guys got arrested in some kind of weird thing that wasn't about the company, but was about insider.
It reflected badly on them.
It's like, ooh, yes. It's all happening.
I mean, I talked to Starbreeze employees when all this was going down, and they're like, yeah, the rot's at the top. Like, it's management that's causing the big problems, and we're just kind of along for the ride. So I think when Psychonauts got, what was it? I remember this happened because it was a weird thing of Tim Schafer was out there saying, yeah, if Starbreeze let go Psychonauts, we would find a publisher, which at that point they were probably in negotiations with Microsoft anyway. Of course. Then Starbreeze was saying, we have to sell Psychonauts back to them because we're not going to have enough money to publish this game. That when that happened, everyone was like, okay, well, this company's done.
Yeah.
Because that was their only big project on the horizon. They seem to be leading back into Payday because Payday 2 made them a fuck ton of money. It's probably the only reason they're alive right now. I don't know. Usually when companies do that, when they like, hey, we're going to make a sequel to our very big thing and hope that it feeds us enough cash to keep going, doesn't work out.
It doesn't usually net the result you wanted.
But we'll see. Like I was surprised that Payday 2 did as well as it did. Yeah. So maybe
want to talk about a dedicated audience, right? Like, that's Payday's audience for sure.
Yeah.
Like, they love that game.
I've heard a lot of good things about that game over the years and a lot of bad things, too.
Yeah.
Often conflicting, so I kind of wonder if, like, maybe they just change it up every so often.
Yeah.
But I would not be shocked, necessarily, if they were able to, like, pull it together from here. But that company was on death's door 12 months ago.
Yeah.
So I...
To be here a year later and actually be like, oh man, they seem like it's good. They're at least for now. Like they're 5 years of debts or whatever still going, but
yeah, maybe their restructuring plan did work and they managed to restructure. Like, maybe the rot at the top actually did get moved somewhere or dispersed out in a way that does not affect the entire rest of the company.
Yeah.
But I have my doubts. Just traditionally. Just based on how like how that has worked before. Unless they like managed to like pull off a miracle. Relying on one game to pull you out of a hole is not usually working out.
Yeah, that's not smart financial sense.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Yeah, because I would have told you in December last year when we started reporting on this, they have mere months in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we are. They made it, Barrett.
They're doing it.
Thank you, Barrett. Imran, I can't wait to see if in 1 year Starbreeze is still here, but 1 year is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops. Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today! Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey finally comes to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Classic Snake Adventures is on PlayStation 4. Hatsumiku Miku VR. Hatsumiku Miku Muku PS4 PSVR. Immortal Planet, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Ski Jumping Pro VR on PlayStation VR. Demon's Tilt on Xbox One. Free Diving Hunter Spearfishing the World is on Xbox One. That's a dope name. Here's Classic Snake Adventures by PlayStation 4. Thank you very, very much, Barrett, for running off and getting me this trailer. Now, of course, the real question as we watch this is, how are the trophies? All right. Whoa, it's loud. I can tell you that much. Music kicked in there.
I think we hella turned it up yesterday at Games.
Ah, right. Yeah. We were watching all the E3 stuff.
Yeah.
Space Pioneer comes to Switch. And then Assassin's Creed The Rebel Collection is on Switch, which is a bundle of Black Flag and Rogue. Black Flag and Rogue on your Nintendo Switch.
I should get a code for that. I want to play those games.
I can hit them up for you. When they hit me up for mine, I was like, fuck yeah. And it's that thing of like, I loved Black Flag and never finished it.
I never played Rogue.
Yeah, me neither.
Rogue is very okay. Rogue is like,
really?
It takes the Black Flag formula and makes it way too much, I would say. I enjoyed the story and the premise, and weirdly enough, how it weirdly tied into Unity.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, because Unity and Rogue came out at the same time, and yes. I remember everybody being like, Rogue is way better than Unity, but everybody wanted it on the new console, so they all wanted
Unity. It's the weird thing where like Rogue was more of the same from what we've seen before, and Unity was very different because Unity was very different. There were a lot of problems, but I think Unity is a very solid Assassin's Creed game, to be honest. But yeah, Rogue is like, just like the systems and like the map, I think is way too big in that one. But Black Flag,
What a game, man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think it's still like, it's top two Assassin's Creed game to this day.
The main campaign, like the story actually holds it back for me a bit because I didn't like the story in that game, or the story missions, I should say. Like, there's so many like just harsh cuts from mutiny, we're on an island, mutiny's over, everything's fine. Like, that's maybe like an entire 20-minute like sequence. Like, okay, that's also tailing missions. There were way too many fucking tailing missions.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was every Assassin's Creed game before Unity.
Yes. And then after that point, they figured it out. But like boat tailing was a specific kind of bad.
Yeah, it's one of those. I
love the story, man. The end where like
spoilers.
I won't super spoiler, but there's a moment where you're kind of looking around at this bar setting and you're all alone. Mm-hmm. If you've gotten to the end, you know what I'm talking about. Like that hit me fucking hard. Like I love Edward Kenway's story.
And they look at him and they go, "Don't you understand, Edward? You are the Pirate of the Caribbean." He's Jack Sparrow comes in. Yo ho ho. New dates for you. Darksiders Genesis is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch on Valentine's Day, aka February 14th, 2020.
The same day the Sonic movie releases. Who's going to play that game?
If you get it on Switch, you can play it while you're hanging out, you know, with your loved one at the movie theater. And I'll tell you what, there you go. Look at that. Like, whatever the contractual obligation was to Stadia and PC. Hey, all right, it's out officially on it the next day. All right, here's when it's coming to consoles, everybody. You've seen the review scores. It's great. Here's when we're coming to consoles.
It's also more expensive on Stadia for some reason.
$10, yeah. Andrea was bitching about it on Twitter. We gave her the whole read yesterday. Good job, Andrea. Go get them. Demons with Shotguns will be available on December. And this is North America, December 17th. EU, December 18th. That's both PlayStation 4. And then on December 24th on Xbox One. And then just in time for the holiday season, DICE is bringing back the return of Wake Island, arguably the most popular map in Battlefield franchise history. The beloved map will launch for free on Thursday, December 12th, as part of the latest Tides of War update, Chapter 5, War in the Pacific for Battlefield.
Do you think people talk about Battlefield much anymore?
No. Did they ever?
I trust the Battlefield people that were very much into that game, like, are into the series in general, and they all tell me, like, yeah, DICE and EA fuck that up. Like,
yeah.
They had a moment for it and just lost it.
Yep. Because, well, remember, they launched it so incomplete. Like, it didn't have Battle Royale. It didn't have anything. They were like, Yeah, that game came out like a silent fart. Nobody cared. Just gone. Yeah, thank you, Barrett. Well, that'd be a loud fart, but yeah, all the same. It's a fart. Okay. It's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, This episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talking about Hims and how they are helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men lose their hair by the age 35, and once you start to notice thinning hair, it can be too late. Be like Kinda Funny's Nick and Andy. They noticed their hair thinning, and they went to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products. Did I say products? Doing a Mario impression to help you treat hair loss.
If I may, deck the balds.
No, not yet. Not yet. It's
no,
too early.
Not balls. Balds.
Deck the balds.
Yes.
That's a reach. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping. I already said the part. These are prescription solutions backed by science. No more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. 4Hims connects you with real doctors online, which could save you hours. You answer a few quick questions, the doctor reviews, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Try Hims today by starting with a free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Prescription products are subject to a doctor's approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went in person to a doctor's office or pharmacy. Instead, 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Up next, it's Tipsy Elves. It's officially the holidays, and no party is complete without getting the ultra-festive holiday clothing from Tipsy Elves. Tipsy Elves is the one-stop shop for your holiday clothing needs. They sell one-of-a-kind Christmas sweaters, dresses, family pajamas, and onesies that will transform your holiday party into an unforgettable experience. You will be the life of the party. Reveal your hilarious holiday alter ego and score bragging rights for having the best Christmas sweater at the party. Of course, you've seen me wearing the Santa suit all week. It is this one.
I've got...
Is that a Tipsy Elves shirt?
That's a Tipsy Elves
shirt.
Oh,
fuck. Go wide, man. Go wide. Look at this thing over there. Like, they got a whole bunch of stuff. Nice. Good job, Imran. You know what I mean? They got everything. They got a white elephant gift things there, so you don't have to think about it. Just go there, get it, send it to your house. You're all set. Deck the halls with one of Tipsy Elves' outrageous Christmas sweater designs. They're one of a kind, seriously high quality, and crazy comfortable. A wide range of men's and women's sizes are there too, so everyone gets their ideal comfortable fit, and they also now carry plus sizes. Tipsy Elves doesn't sell just Christmas sweaters. They are truly a one-stop shop for everything you could possibly need for holiday clothing needs. Say snow thank you to boring this year. Try one of the hilarious awesome designs from Tipsy Elves. Go to tipsyelves.com/games now to get 20% off your entire order. That's tipsyelves.com/games, 20% off today. And finally, it's Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in the men's below-the-belt grooming area. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Tim and I both use it, and we get compliments about our balls every day. Manscaped's Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 2.0 comes inside their Perfect Package 2.0, which makes the perfect gift for the holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. Tis the season to manscape. Get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, or anybody with balls the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code GAMES. Imran, take it away.
Undeck the balls.
Undeck the balls, everybody. Where do I want to start with you? Oh, here we go. We'll start with the Mary nanobiologist who wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hi, Greg and Imran. Marvel's Avengers announced they will have a tie-in novel released next year in March. While I love tie-in novels just to get more story, most people don't. I mean, reading is for nerds, right? The biggest complaint is that there is major story and character building done in the novels that never really gets carried over to the game. Assassin's Creed is most egregious with this, where they finished the Desmond story arc in a book and just moved on to the games. WoW is also bad with introducing new characters that get well-established in the universe, but then just appear in the game with no talks about them appearing. How can developers treat tie-in content better than they currently are? What ideas do you have that they can add the story to the books into the games while also encouraging people to read the content? Is cross-media like this even possible? Thanks, the Mary, not-so-creative nanobiologist."
Short answer is no. Not possible. Like, you're always asking people to do another thing outside of the games, which means the games are not going to be a self-contained story. And there's like that could be because like game design and narrative don't always work well together because you need to. I forget where I heard this story from, but like somebody wrote on Twitter once. I wrote a scene where a character took something out of their purse and it said a wave through 5 different departments. Like that's the kind of thing to design around in a video game. It's very difficult to like, oh well, how are they going to pick this up? Like, does that affect where the environment is?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Is it working? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need to rearrange levels. It breaks the story completely and stuff like that. So you do have those ancillary things to, let's say, finish up a story arc or put some backstory that you can't really fit into a game because you don't want Anderson telling you about his previous exposure with a rogue ninja or what the fuck was that novel about? It was a really bad Mass Effect novel.
Yeah.
But it ended up being fairly important in Mass Effect 3, so only people who knew about that novel actually like played or understood what was the deal with that one guy.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, also, if they're bothering to put it outside of the game, it's probably not that important.
That's where it always comes down to. You know what I mean? Of like, I think you can handle it in so many different ways, but in general, the game has to be, if we're talking about the IP starting with a video game and being a video game, the game has to be the most important thing, and it has to tell you the big beats there.
Yeah.
And so that does make all the ancillary content less than, mm-hmm. because you can't do the big stuff in it, right? Like, I'm a huge comic book fan and Spider-Man fan, right? Love Spider-Man PlayStation 4, and they've done the City That Never Sleeps comic books, like, right, where, you know, I just haven't read them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get it. And there was a novelization that came out before Spider-Man that I think led up to him taking down Kingpin. It's like, cool, like, I get it. There's only so much time and bandwidth I have for anything, and that just doesn't fall in the purview of what I want to do.
I saw the 2 Spider-Geddon pages everyone passes around, and that's cool.
And, like, Spider-Geddon's a great way to do it, where it's like, hey, here's all this crossover and stuff that's popping in, and it's like, it's going to be interesting because they're never going to mention any of that, right? In PS4 Spider-Man.
Absolutely
or Spider-Man
not.
PS4 2 of like, also, I've been to a bunch of different dimensions and I've seen things.
Maybe there's like a throwaway line at one point. Or
there'll be a
like
joke
that.
About it, right? Yeah. Of, that reminds me of this one time I saw the British Spider-Man. What do you got?
A similar one is the book for Battlefront 2.
Oh.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 where like introduced the whole Inferno Squad and stuff like that where it was like, yeah, that sounds cool, but like, I'm not trying to read an entire book to play a 5-hour game. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And it's like, and I like that that's there. I like that those things go off, but I just can't. I rarely get bogged down in it. I remember when they were doing the Batman digital comic book leading up to Arkham City.
Yeah. And that one was cool, actually.
It was cool because it was short. It was digital, so it got dropped quick. And it was like, it was the first, I remember breaking out, it was like, I justified reading comics at IGN, that I was able to, it was the first time we saw Robin's outfit for what Robin would be in the game, and I got to bust that out. Mm-hmm. But it was that same thing of like, I remember nothing that happened in it. Like, I know it was just Hugo Strange setting it all up to get where he wanted to be.
I remember the one where he sneaks into Arkham City, like, dressed up as, like a street thug or whatever.
Yeah.
So like kind of like helped make sense of like what, like he has an idea of what's going on in Arkham City. I thought that like little detail was cool. But yeah, like I think Nano also brought up Assassin's Creed. Like, yeah, that's the most egregious one to me where it's like your main fucking, and I think this was more on like Ubisoft and like how they wanted to handle Desmond's story arc, and they're like, yeah, we'll just put that in a book. Like,
lame.
Guys, come on, man.
Love the Desmond stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was like the main character for so long, and then they're just like, ah, nah, he's dead.
Kebab says, and you're wrong, and we all know Kebab's is hit or miss on his you're wrong. Mm. Desmond's story was concluded in a comic book, not a novel.
How do you feel about spin-off games that tell more of the story?
So, example.
Dead Space. Dead Space Extraction on the Wii.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I like where your head's at, Imran Khan. Oh, Extraction was fun, actually.
I love Extraction.
Yeah, Extraction was a great game. Like, I don't it's that thing of when you're doing just don't answer the major questions you're proposing in a mainline game and an offshoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Extraction was great because it told us how we got there, right? Wasn't that Extraction thing, if I remember correctly?
Yes.
So it was like, I enjoyed that a lot of like, okay, cool. This is all stuff that's going to lead up to why, Isaac Clarke is going to pick up where he picks up.
Right.
And it wasn't that I suddenly had to work. And now granted, of course, everybody plays games differently. Like, I read the lore in the game sometimes if I'm really into it and then forget it. You know what I mean? Like, so like I remember the, Altman be praised and the marker and all that from Dead Space, but I can't tell you like if Extraction fucked up something that a piece of paper inside of Isaac Clarke's real story changed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just enjoyed it for what it was of like, oh, cool. I'm in this world that's creepy and doing something different.
To me, if you put the lore somewhere that makes it seem unimportant, I'm going to assume it's unimportant.
Sure.
Like, let's take as a hypothetical.
Sure.
If they had 2 Control projects, one is Control 2 that tells the story of the Federal Bureau and all that.
Yeah.
And one is a Control mobile app that tells the story of the Federal Bureau.
Yeah.
I would never play that mobile app.
Right.
But I would probably play Control 2, and I would treat that story as much more important and more canonical.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting way you get into these situations of everybody wants these cross-platform, cross-media universes. They want to take the IP and do all these different things.
All the publishers want that.
Exactly. Good point. Good point. But yeah, how often does it work out? Because even with Dead Space, right, they had the animated movie and all that jazz and stuff where they actually like really went in. And I remember watching the animated. I liked Extraction. I watched the movie, and I remember not liking the movie. That was
remember
years
the motion
ago.
Comics.
Oh, God, yeah, exactly, yeah. And like that's the thing is like there's a saturation point for all this of like how much do I love a game and really want to consume it?
Mm-hmm.
And you get something like, you know, even Infamous, who's making yet another appearance on the show today. But remember when they did Festival of Blood?
Yeah.
And it was like Zeke telling a story. It wasn't like this is actually canon that happened to Cole or whatever, blah, blah, blah. He was just bullshitting around. I was like, all right, this is cool. Thanks. This is an easy way to jump into this and have it. And even in Second Son, where they did Fetch First Light, where it's like, cool, this doesn't directly affect Delson or the story or who I knew. It just gives me background on arguably the coolest character in Infamous Second Son,
mm-hmm.
Fetch.
I mean, it's also kind of a solo problem of like... There's
answering questions nobody cared about.
Yeah, basically. Like, now I know the backstory of Han Solo, but I don't care any more than I did before.
Yeah.
Like, I was not, like, begging to find out how did he win the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, they've already basically said that in Empire Strikes Back, so I don't need to hear the full story behind it.
Yeah.
So, like, when a game does things like that, when they do answer questions, and it's usually so on the nose because games writing is just like that.
Yeah.
That I'm... It makes me like the end product less when they do. Metal Gear Solid 5, also kind of a good example of now we know why there are two big bosses. It's like, okay, I was fine just assuming he rebuilt himself.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, didn't need this weird story.
Yeah.
Any of that stuff. But we digress on that one. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Robbie Rob needs help on PC and Xbox. The PC and Xbox username is Xyamex. X-Y-A-M-E-A-X. Hey, KFBFs, Robbie Rob again. I want to say thanks to everyone who sent in a request last time I made a squad up before the initial flight beta of Halo Reach. Well, baby, it is out now, and I am truly grateful for 343 to bringing the classic Halo experience to PC again. So, for anyone wanting to do some classic infection or who can capture the flag, I am on after 6 p.m. Pacific to 10 p.m. Pacific. Hope to see everyone again on the battlefield. P.S. No, Barrett and Greg. Xyamex is a fine name. It is the drug that brings smiles to everyone's faces that I play with, though I don't know why they laugh at me every time they see me.
Xyamex.
If you got to spell out your username, if you got to give me phonetical spelling of your username, it's a bad username, everybody.
It sounds like a legendary Pokemon.
From now on, if you have a bad username, I'm just going to say it, and then God bless you if they can find you. All right? So everybody go find Xyamex. There it is. Go get him. Time for your run. This is where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Nanobiologist says, to add to the Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC announcement, Nomura stated after the Japan Kingdom Hearts Orchestra concert that in December, they will announce the release date in December. It's still slated for winter release. So there you go.
I assume it'll just drop one day of like...
Yeah. I could see it being at the PlayStation State of Play.
I could see it being at Game Awards. It's out now.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay. Maybe something like that.
Nanobiologist also says Neo 2 had an open beta. It started on November 1st.
Okay, then I just couldn't get in.
You just couldn't get in? Yeah. They didn't want you in there, okay. Charles J. calls me out. Darksiders Genesis console date has been known since October 22nd, Miller. And then links to the thing.
Have you played any more of that?
Not since I played yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought about tossing the controller in to go play while I'm on the road today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to play it on the phone. I want to play that game. I don't want to play it on the
tiny
phone.
Yeah, that looks like on your laptop screen, it was almost unplayable.
Yeah.
Like, just visually.
Yeah, yeah. And then Lord of Pwns says, no, that's not you're wrong, and I didn't answer that question.
Yeah.
Damn. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday. That means the week's over, and we need to look ahead. Next week is Game Awards week, so there's a whole bunch of stuff happening. But here's how it shakes out for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Monday, me and Tim. Tuesday, me and Imran. Wednesday, me and Gary Witta. Thursday, Imran and Tim. Friday, Imran and Snowbike Mike.
Mm.
Exciting one there. Gamescast is recording Tuesday at 2 p.m. It is me, maybe Imran, and The developers of Life is Strange. We're doing a Life is Strange 2 spoiler cast there. So that's your homework over this weekend. Beat Life is Strange 2. You've done two episodes. I've done two episodes. What do you think?
I really like it.
Right?
I finished episode 2 last night. I have to ask you a question. Do you think...
Is it spoilers? Are you going to watch spoilers?
No.
Okay.
Do you think you could catch up to a train or jump on a train that's in moving?
How is it just leaving the station?
No. It is on a normal path. Let's assume... the top regular speed for a train.
Oh, God, no. No, no chance of no.
Okay. I see that people in media do that all the time. No, that's impossible.
Yeah.
I would never...
I usually see it leaving the station and picking up speed. And that's when I think I have a shot. Not a great shot, but a shot.
Yeah.
More likely, I'm going to trip and get run over.
I think I would grab onto it and get dragged.
Sure, sure. Yeah. You got the upper arm strength that you can pull yourself
up? Absolutely not. Okay. I could not do a pull-up.
You're just going to hook one arm on it and drag yourself to the destination?
I think if it was like an old-timey train, like if we're in the 40s, right? I think you have a fighting chance.
Like we're Doc Brown and Marty.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, then, as we just pointed out, we are going to do a live reacts to PlayStation State of Play Tuesday, 6 a.m. Will that affect everything else on Tuesday? Possibly.
There's also a Game Awards live react on Thursday.
100%. They'll be here. I'll be drinking at the Game Awards.
And we'll be drinking here.
Nice. Yeah. Everybody protect your laptops. You never know what's going to happen with Tim, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.